There is, I'd like to read with God's help from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. In the pulpit Bible that is before me, where we begin reading, it says the heading says the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we consider the work of the Holy Spirit, what he was sent here to do, Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I go away. Jesus Christ had to go so that the Spirit would come. And then he says that when he has come, he will reprove the world. He will reprove the world. So this is his role, or this is what the Holy Spirit will do and has done. This was a prophecy that would take place, which is now a fact of history. And it's ongoing, even to in the very present. And as we can see, really the Holy Spirit, what he does is he points to none other than to Jesus Christ. And he says, when he will come, he will reprove the world of sin. And so we consider, so he will bring a knowledge of sin to the world. He will bring a knowledge of righteousness to the world. And he will bring a knowledge of judgment to the world. So if we consider sin, righteousness, and judgment, that has to show us that the Spirit of God will bring us to a consciousness of who God is. Just because when we think of God, we think of righteousness. And righteousness is all things that are right, and that is all God. And so as God is awakened in our consciences, we realize his righteousness, and then the opposite of that righteousness is sin. And the knowledge of sin, or the consciousness of sin, brings us to judgment. And so the world will be made to know righteousness, sin, and judgment. And it is upon the acknowledgement of this and what we choose is going to be ultimately eternity for us. He says, when he is come, he will reprove the world. And he says, and he describes her of sin. So we can talk about sin. We can talk about, you know, the sin which doth so easily beset us. It could be the sin of lying. It's so easy for me to fall into that sin, I could say. The sin of worldliness, of pride. It's so easy, the sin of lust. It's so easy for me to fall into these things. These are the sins which doth so easily beset us. But that's not what the Spirit will point out to us. There's one sin. He says, that you believe not on me. He will reprove, he will make known unto us Jesus Christ, point us to him, and if we don't choose him, it's only the sin. The sin that you and I can depart with tonight is only one. I didn't believe on him. I don't believe on Jesus. We say, well, then I will leave with no sin. No. The belief here is speaking of a receiving of him. The belief here that he speaks of, because when we believe on him, we become righteous. Because he will bring to our consciousness righteousness. A righteousness that our Lord Jesus, when he says here, and he speaks here, he says, a righteousness because I go to my Father. So when Jesus went to the Father, he took with him the life that he lived here on this earth. And we could say he actually went into the glorious light of heaven and challenged, if we could say, heaven, the light of heaven, the holiness of heaven with his life, his righteous life. Righteousness, what it means, is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus could go, the life that he lived on this earth, amidst a fallen people, never having sinned, never having come into contact with his own self, in his soul, to have experienced sin. Never. And so he goes to heaven. He goes, I go to the Father, and I will make you know righteousness by my life that I lived here on this earth, that I go to the Father with, and really enter into the presence of holiness as I am in the life that I lived, the life that I showed you. And so it is not only a righteousness that is revealed, it is a righteousness that he empowers us to live. But we only have to believe. And so this righteousness that God reproves the world of, that the Spirit of God will reprove the world of, he will reveal and empower us with. But it can only be through belief. If we don't believe, we are in sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is. We can talk about Hitler. We can talk about the greatest sinners, and we can create monsters. We know who lived in history, what it tells us of the kind of men that had walked this earth. And we can look ourselves at them, and the Bible tells us you are not wise. You're not wise if you're going to compare yourselves with others, because you've been reproved of righteousness. And so don't pretend to be wise by comparing yourself to the Hitlers of this world and say, I am not as Hitler is. Or I am not as this sinner or that sinner. Do we believe? Because it is the belief in Jesus Christ who took upon himself the sin of the world and faced the judgment of God upon himself, taking our sin. John the Baptist, the last of the prophets, looks at Jesus walking along the Jordan, mostly unbeknownst to anyone at that time. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The judgment that had sat upon the world Jesus Christ is now taking upon himself all of your sin and my sin. He takes it all. He takes, and he is judged for my sin and yours. And he says, and you see me no more. And he says also of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so on the cross, it is on the cross. You know, it's not only that we are pardoned, because if we are just pardoned, that means then that we could just go on and never seek to attain any type of holiness, anything of righteousness, anything of Jesus died. And so what is the efficacy, if we could say, of his death upon the cross? That is going to depend upon, and for me or for you, it is going to depend upon my sin. And that sin is my belief, my faith in him. And so on the cross, he takes my sin. He also judges the prince of this world. The prince of the world is judged on the cross. And so now, by my belief in him who took my sin and judged the prince of this world upon that cross, when he rose victorious on the third day and ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit of God, which could not come until he had ascended, now I stand with a choice to make. And so he says, the choice today that you and I will make, do you believe on me? Because he gave, as he says, he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world and gives unto us the power to become the sons of God. Do you think, that God is looking forward to usher in sinners into heaven? To, you know, if I can say that I believe, and because I believe, I am saved, but I can then go on and living how I want, I am still saved. Well, God's not going to usher in sinners into heaven. Then Jesus really didn't need to die. Because then I am saying the power of Christ cannot change me. The cross, the efficacy of the cross, it doesn't bring about any type of change. When we talk about the efficacy of the vaccine recently, when it came out, it was supposed to annihilate the coronavirus. And we find out later its efficacy was nothing because everyone still received the COVID virus. Are we going to say that the cross of Jesus Christ is the same way? By continuing in sin, as Paul says, so that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. And so what is it then that empowers me to be able? You believe not. That is sin. You will be judged. I will be judged for one sin. I didn't believe in him. Because if I believe in him, he empowers me. He cleanses me. He sanctifies me and creates in me a new man. This, dear brothers and sisters and dear friends, is something that if we consider our lives and see how weak we are and how frail and how often we fail and so on, and we just moan and groan and mourn in our sins, it's because we don't believe. We don't believe. Because Jesus is saying here that the Spirit will come to reprove us for that. But if we believe in Him, then we do take our sins and place it upon Him, and He empowers us then to live a life that we live and go on towards holiness and righteousness. You know, we can't discount that. We can't discount holiness and righteousness because Jesus is calling us to those things. And so when we consider the prince of this world is judged, that means he has been judged. That happened on the cross. He has been judged. And so if you and I do not believe, that means our alignment is still with the prince of this world who is judged, and we are judged with him. We are judged with him because we are yet with him. And so when we believe on Jesus and he empowers us and we are cleansed by his blood and sanctified by his blood, we are redeemed. We walk on resurrection ground in the power of the Spirit of God. And our faith in him, as the brother prayed, may we continue to grow in faith. That faith is one of belief and faith in him, that he who has called me to this will empower me to live this. And then gone are my comparing of myself to the madmen of the generations past and present and maybe even future, and compare myself and sit smugly and say, as the man who kneeled and prayed, the Pharisee who said, I thank God that I am not a sinner as this man, this publican here. Because really that's what we do when we compare ourselves to other men. And so we're now relying upon my works. I'm not as bad. Yes, I still fail, but we consider those failures small because they're not as big as the madmen who lived treacherous lives. And so we become comfortable in the lives that we live as we abstractly believe on Jesus. And Jesus is saying his Spirit will come to reprove us, to bring to our consciousness that the sin of this world is because you believe not on me, he says. And so the question that all of us have, what will we do? Because Jesus Christ is before us. And now what will we do with it? The Spirit of God brings that consciousness to us. Jesus Christ died for you. And now what will I do with him? What will I do with him? Do I receive him? Because when I receive him, he changes me. And so I can't grudgingly seek a change. Well, I know I'm not supposed to do that, so I won't. See, can I say then, if, and this is probably just the easiest to use of drunkenness. If I'm a drunkard, can I say that I can live as a drunkard? Because I'm only doing damage to myself, let's say. I can create all kinds of excuses within myself to justify or to say that I am an alcoholic, that I am this way because I'm prone to those things and so on. So I am saying then that God cannot change me. So I'm saying that when God says that a drunkard will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, am I saying then that, no, Jesus died for me, I can remain a drunkard because I choose to live that life? And I can see even say, well, I didn't choose it. It's what I've become. It's my past. So am I saying then that Jesus has no power over sin? He came to take away the sin of the world. And now, let's not sit here and think, well, I'm not a drunkard, or I don't get drunk, so I'm good. What is the sin that doth so easily beset you and me? Am I going to say that that's the sin that Jesus will overlook? Overlook? How can he overlook sin? How can he overlook? So we say, so now then we lower the holiness of God. And so really it all just comes back to our belief. What do we believe about Jesus Christ? Who is he? When he says that in him is all power, he says, where's in Revelation, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Yeah, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. And so this is Jesus who has judged the prince of the world, and all of humanity, born helpless in sin, he comes to save and to take our sin, our past sin, and our sin that when we come in his presence and our belief in him, and we acknowledge that I have sinned, that acknowledgement now has to come to a conclusion or a climax of some kind. In my acknowledgement, what do? Woe is me. In his presence, yes. Without his death, without his blood, yes. With his blood, Jesus is calling me to him. Believe in me. And as you believe in me, I will empower you to overcome. And so he calls us to repentance. Brothers and sisters, we who have sinned after we have been baptized in the death of Christ, he doesn't leave us alone in our sin. But he calls us out of that, back to him. And so now we will give a answer for what we do with him tonight. Will we leave here with the sin of unbelief? Because if we leave here with the sin of unbelief, we will continue in the sin that doth so easily beset me that I acknowledge, and now I don't believe on him enough, or I don't want him enough. I don't want him. And in doing so, dear ones, I don't believe in him. And so the Holy Spirit has reproved me, has brought that conscience to me, and so now I am guilty. I am now guilty before him. And lie under condemnation with the devil. With the devil. I'm in condemnation. According to what Jesus spoke here, he came to reprove us of those things. Along with the sin comes the judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so the only way out is through him, through the cross. Dear ones, the efficacy of the cross is 100%. It creates, it cleanses, it deals with the sin that Christ went on the cross to defeat. It deals with sin. And then he gives us his righteousness, because he knows we can't do anything. It's all in him. And so he gives us his righteousness. And what is that? Just here it is. No, he empowers us. He empowers us so that when God looks at us, he sees his son. He sees his son, the one that we love, the one that we believe in and love and follow. This is why the Holy Spirit came, to point us to Jesus. And so as we have come aware of sin and righteousness and judgment, that means that we have come to know God. So every man who's come to an acknowledgement of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment has come to know God. And what are we going to do with him is the question for every man. And every man is given a will, and God will never violate that will. Because if he takes me and forces me to live a certain way, then I don't have free will. And then I am no longer the pinnacle of his creation. But God can't violate our will. He created us in this manner so that we can simply choose. Because we fell, we are condemned, but he gave us his son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, dear ones, if there is sin in our lives, let's deal with it through repentance and the cross. Yes, brothers and sisters, that's for us too. There's a manner in which we can deal with our sin. As a brother mentioned this past Sunday morning, you know, the world is looking upon the church. And there's many failures in the church. As many wars have been started through Christianity. Imagine that. Wars began because of Christianity. It's hard to fathom. What kind of Christianity is that? It's not the one that this Bible speaks of. And so men who read and understand and see history and what's going on, they don't want no part of God. It's an excuse that they use, because there are holy men that they can look on and see, but they just take something. But woe unto you and me if we are that person that man looks on and says, this is a Christian, I want no part of that. He is not justified, but what happens to me in my testimony, where I was supposed to be the witness to bring that man or that soul to Christ? So as the Spirit is pointing to Christ, as God the Father always says, we heard that this Son, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father points to the Son. The Spirit points to the Son. Who should you and I point to? Can I point to Jesus who I don't know, who I am not following? I can in words, but where's the power of that? It has to be in my life. It has to be in my life. The one that I believe in and love and adore is the angels. As when he ascended on high and the angels received him, and there's a song in heaven. They're singing in heaven for Jesus, whom they adore. Is that my heart? Do I love his law? And it's precious unto me. And I love him and I believe in him. So, will we leave tonight, dear ones, with sin? A sin of unbelief. Because the sin of unbelief is the only sin that I will be judged with in the end. It's the only sin. You didn't believe in my Son. You didn't believe that he could change you. You never gave yourself to him. You never tasted of his goodness, of his power. He had the power. This is the righteousness that he reproves the world of. He walked in this life perfect. And he said, learn of me, look at my life. He didn't say, just look at it and observe it and go on your merry way and try. And well, you can't, it's okay. No, he says, love me. And we'll show you what great things I can do in you and what I can change in you. And so he has the power. He has that power. He brings us. He gives us that power to be able to overcome those things. We even, in a verse we didn't sing, but it says, yea, for thy Holy Spirit's guiding into the truth that life doth give. For it is but thy might abiding that works the power in thee to live. So his Spirit working in me gives me the power to live in him. A power. We're not weak Christians. We're not weak. We can't say, oh, I'm just a weak Christian. He gives me the power. It says, and for my strengthening Strengthening of what? Physical strength? No, a strengthening for my strengthening over sin. He says, "O Lord, renewed my mind with thanks." Record. So, this is the Holy Spirit who came to dwell in us, to bring about in us a new creation, a new creature, to walk in newness of life, to love one another, to love the truth, to abide in the truth, to proclaim the truth, to live the truth. He gives us the strength for that strengthening, O Lord, that works the power in me to live for him. That's beautiful. All we have to do is believe. What will we do with Jesus tonight? May his Spirit guide us and receive him as we believe on him. Amen.
Jesus says that it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. Something that's expedient is necessary. And we've heard about the necessity of the Holy Spirit and his convicting work in our lives individually, and his work of sanctification that Jesus is sending him to do. But it's interesting to note that Jesus says he will send the Comforter to the disciples, and then the Holy Spirit, this Comforter, will do work in the world. So this Holy Spirit, this Comforter, is necessary for our individual lives, for sanctifying and for cleansing and purifying us. But it's also necessary in the task that he has placed us in the world to accomplish. He sent the disciples to be fishers of men. And you see in the sermons that Peter preaches in the Acts, as he's inspired by the Holy Ghost, he brings to memory that those who are the Jews who had rejected Jesus Christ, who did not believe in him, that were still in their sins, that needed to repent, that they were guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. They lived out and demonstrated Christ's life. And because Christ was no longer there to be seen and to be heard by them, the disciples, as Christ's ambassadors, as his representatives, were demonstrating to the world and teaching about Jesus Christ, making him known. And they were calling in. And they were also speaking of judgment. They were living in a way that rejected the things that are of value to the prince of this world and the things that he offers, because they know he's going to be judged and it's going to be left behind. So as we consider what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us individually about sin that may need to be dealt with, let's remember that there's life beyond the cross, that there's resurrection, that there's a work that needs to be done. There's a purpose that God has placed us in this world for. And the Holy Spirit is necessary for us in order to bring that about. The Holy Spirit will be sent to the disciples, and he will do that work through his church of reproving the world of sin, of demonstrating righteousness, and testifying of the judgment of the prince of this world. Let's all be aware that the word of Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel isn't just for me and my consumption and my salvation and all about myself and my destiny. Because God has a plan, and he has a kingdom, And there are souls that need to be invited and welcomed and be shown that there is another way. And the Holy Spirit can use willing vessels to do as Jesus did, to condemn sin in the flesh, to demonstrate Jesus Christ and his purifying work in righteousness, and to live like we truly believe that the prince of this world will be judged and all the things that he values, and leave it far behind, and show this world a different way, the way of Jesus Christ, that he's calling all of us to follow. May God bless his word to that end. Amen.